Welcome to day 33 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, your host, and today we are reading in the book of Exodus, and we're at the point where the plagues that God is sending upon Egypt are in full force, and we're entering the portion where the Passover lamb is going to be sacrificed in every household in the Israelites' camp. And we find in the passage we read today the beautiful symbolism of Christ as our Passover lamb being slain for the freedom of people from bondage. So we see the reality and the truth and the beauty of the New Testament hidden here in the Old Testament in the book of Exodus. I believe you'll find this to be a fascinating passage as we read today from Exodus 10 through chapter 12, starting at Exodus 10, verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go to Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I may perform these signs of mine among them, and that you may tell them in the hearing of your son and of your grandson how I made a mockery of the Egyptians and how I performed my signs among them, that you may know that I am the Lord." Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me. For if you refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow I will bring locusts into your territory. They shall cover the surface of the land, so that no one will be able to see the land. They will also eat the rest of what has escaped, what is left to you from the hail, and they will eat every tree which sprouts for you out of the field. Then your houses shall be filled, and the houses of all your servants, and the houses of all the Egyptians, something which neither your fathers nor your grandfathers have seen from the day that they came upon the earth until this day." And he turned and went out from Pharaoh. Pharaoh's servants said to him, "How long will this man be a snare to us? Let the men go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Do you not realize that Egypt is destroyed?" So Moses and Aaron were brought back to Pharaoh, and he said to them, "Go, serve the Lord your God." Who are the ones going that are going? Moses said, "We shall go with our young and our old, with our sons and our daughters, with our flocks and our herds we shall go, for we must hold a feast for the Lord." Then he said to them, "Thus may the Lord be with you, if I ever let you and your little ones go. Take heed, for evil is in your mind. Not so. Go now, the men among you, and serve the Lord, for that is what you desire." So they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the land of Egypt for the locust, that they may come up on the land of Egypt and eat every plant of the land, even all that the hail has left." So Moses stretched out his staff over the land, and the Lord directed an east wind on the land all that day and all that night. And when it was morning, the east wind brought the locusts. The locusts came up over all the land of Egypt and settled in all the territory of Egypt. They were very numerous. There had never been so many locusts, nor would there ever be so many again, for they covered the surface of the whole land, so that the land was darkened, and they ate every plant of the land and all the fruit of the trees that the hail had left. Thus nothing green was left on tree or plant of the field through all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh hurriedly called for Moses and Aaron, and he said, "I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you. Now therefore, please forgive my sin only this once, and make supplication to the Lord your God that he would only remove this death from me." He went out from Pharaoh and made supplication to the Lord. So the Lord shifted the wind to a very strong west wind, which took up the locusts and drove them into the Red Sea. Not one locust was left in all the territory of Egypt. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the sons of Israel go. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand toward the sky, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even a darkness which may be felt." So Moses stretched out his hand toward the sky, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt for 3 days. They did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days, but all the sons of Israel had light in their dwellings. Then Pharaoh called to Moses and said, "Go, serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be detained. Even your little ones may go with you." But Moses said, "You must also let us have the sacrifices and burnt offerings that we may sacrifice them to the Lord our God. Therefore our livestock too shall go with us. Not a hoof shall be left behind. For we shall take some of them to serve the Lord our God. And until we arrive there, we ourselves do not know with what we shall serve the Lord." But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he was not willing to let them go. Then Pharaoh said to him, "Get away from me. Beware, do not see my face again, for in the day you see my face, you shall die." Moses said, "You are right. I shall never see your face again." Chapter 11. Now the Lord said to Moses, "One more plague I will bring on Pharaoh and on Egypt. After that, he will let you go from here. When he lets you go, he will surely drive you out from here completely. Speak now in the hearing of the people, that each man ask from his neighbor and each woman from her neighbor for articles of silver and articles of gold." The Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Furthermore, the man Moses himself was greatly esteemed in the land of Egypt, both in the sight of Pharaoh's servants and in the sight of the people. Moses said, "Thus says the Lord, about midnight, I am going out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of the Pharaoh who sits on his throne, even to the firstborn of the slave girl who is behind the millstones, all the firstborn of the cattle as well. Moreover, there shall be a great cry in all the land of Egypt, such as there has not been before, and such as shall never be again. But against any of the sons of Israel, a dog will not even bark, whether against man or beast, that you may understand how the Lord makes a distinction between Egypt and Israel. All these your servants will come down to me and bow themselves before me, saying, 'Go out, you and all the people who follow you.' And after that, I will go out." And he went from Pharaoh in hot anger. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Pharaoh will not listen to you, so that my wonders will be multiplied in the land of Egypt." Moses and Aaron performed all these wonders before Pharaoh, yet the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the sons of Israel go out of his land. Chapter 12. Now the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be the beginning of months for you. It is to be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, 'On the 10th of this month, they are each one to take a lamb for themselves, according to their father's households, a lamb for each household.' Now, if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his neighbor nearest to his house are to take one, according to the number of persons in them, according to what each man should eat. You are to divide the lamb. Your lamb shall be an unblemished male, a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel is to kill it at twilight. Moreover, they shall take some of the blood and put it on the doorposts and on the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh that same night, roasted with fire, and they shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Do not eat of it raw or boiled at all with water, but rather roasted with fire, both its head and its legs along with its entrails. And you shall not leave any of it over until morning, but whatever is left of it until morning you shall burn with fire. Now you shall eat it in this manner, with your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will go through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Now this day will be a memorial to you, and you shall celebrate it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You are to celebrate it as a permanent ordinance. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, but on the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses. For whoever eats anything leavened from the first day until the seventh, that person shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day you shall have a holy assembly, and another holy assembly on the seventh day. No work at all shall be done on them, except what must be eaten by every person. That alone may be prepared by you. You shall also observe the feast of unleavened bread, for on this very day I brought your hosts out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations as a permanent ordinance. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. 7 days there shall be no leaven found in your houses, for whoever eats what is leavened, that person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is an alien or a native of the land. You shall not eat anything leavened. In all your dwellings you shall eat unleavened bread. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, Go and take for yourselves lambs according to your families and slay the Passover lamb. You shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood which is in the basin and apply some of the blood that is in the basin to the lintel and the two doorposts. And none of you shall go outside the door of his house until morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. And you shall observe this event as an ordinance for you and your children forever. When you enter the land which the Lord will give you, as he has promised, you shall observe this rite. And when your children say to you, What does this rite mean to you? You shall say, It is a Passover sacrifice to the Lord who passed over the houses of the sons of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians, but spared our homes. And the people bowed low and worshipped. Then the sons of Israel went and did so, just as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. Now it came about at midnight that the Lord struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. Pharaoh arose in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was no home where there was not someone dead. Then he called for Moses and Aaron at night and said, Rise up, get out from among my people, both you and the sons of Israel, and go worship the Lord as you have said. Take both your flocks and your herds as you have said and go, and bless me also. The Egyptians urged the people to send them out of the land in haste, for they said, We will all be dead. So the people took their dough before it was leavened, with their kneading bowls bound up in the clothes on their shoulders. Now the sons of Israel had done according to the word of Moses, for they had requested from the Egyptians articles of silver and articles of gold and clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they let them have their request. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. Now the sons of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 men on foot, aside from the children. A mixed multitude also went up with them, along with flocks and herds, a very large number of livestock. They baked the dough which they had brought out of Egypt into cakes of unleavened bread, for it had not become leavened since they were driven out of Egypt and could not delay, nor had they prepared any provisions for themselves. Now the time that the sons of Israel lived in Egypt was 430 years. And at the end of 430 years, to the very day, all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night to be observed for the Lord, for having brought them out from the land of Egypt. This night is for the Lord, to be observed by all the sons of Israel throughout their generations. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "This is the ordinance of the Passover. No foreigner is to eat of it, but every man's slave purchased with money, after you have circumcised him, then he may eat of it. A sojourner or a hired servant shall not eat of it. It is to be eaten in a single house. You are not to bring forth any of the flesh outside of the house, nor are you to break any bone of it. All the congregation of Israel are to celebrate this. But if a stranger sojourns with you and celebrates the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised. Then let him come near to celebrate it, and he shall be like a native of the land. But no uncircumcised person may eat of it. The same law shall apply to the native as to the stranger who sojourns among you." Then all the sons of Israel did so. They did just as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. And on that same day the Lord brought the sons of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their hosts. That is the end of today's scripture reading. Today's scripture reading brings us to the chapter that is the very heart of the book of Exodus, chapter 12, because it is the beginning of the Israelites' journey out of Egypt. And Exodus means way out, so it is the exodus of the people of Israel out of their land of bondage. But in this phenomenal chapter, we see the revelation of New Testament truth of the blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ himself, being shed for the salvation, deliverance, rescue of a people in bondage. So this is a chapter where New Testament truth is concealed within it, and it also is a chapter where Old Testament historical reality is revealed in the New Testament, and the two are completely related. But let's talk today about the symbolism that we see here in these chapters in the book of Exodus. We see in chapters 10 and 11 that Pharaoh kept hardening his heart, even to the point where these horrific plagues did not move him to let the people of Israel go, but only when he was threatened with and began to experience the very last plague, which was the plague of the death of the firstborn, that he literally thrust the people out of his land. Even though his advisors had been begging him to recognize that Egypt was already destroyed, he kept resisting releasing the people of Israel. He didn't want to let this free labor force leave the country. But God was compelling him by these powerful signs, wonders, and judgments that were coming upon the land. So these last several plagues, as harsh as they were, weren't enough until the plague of the death of the firstborn came upon Pharaoh's house as well as every house in Egypt. But the key was that this plague of the firstborn death, which was that the angel of death was going to come through the land of Egypt, and only houses that had the blood of a slain lamb painted on the lintel and the doorposts would be passed over, and no one in that house would die. This picture of the angel of death passing over a home because of the blood of the lamb on the doorposts is a picture of the salvation that's given to us through the blood of Jesus, through believing and putting our faith in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and Jesus being our Passover lamb. I doubt sincerely that Moses and Aaron and the people of Israel really understood the depth of what they were doing when they killed the Passover lamb, took the blood, put it in the bowl, took hyssop, which was a plant that they used as a type of a brush or sponge, and they painted the blood of that lamb on their doorposts, and how that was going to be the method for them to be delivered from death. I'm sure they didn't have the overall picture of what that all meant, but because of all that they had seen and all that God had done and during these plagues, they obeyed the word of the Lord through Moses to do this. And because they did obey, they were delivered from the angel of death, bringing death to their house. But we see that this is so symbolic of Christ's work for us. In the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians 5, 7 and 8, it talks about Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. And then in 1 Peter 1:18, it says that every Christian has been redeemed from his vain manner of life with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So we see that this symbolism here in the Old Testament speaks of or points to the death of Jesus Christ as our Passover lamb. Do you remember that when John the Baptist first saw Jesus coming, when he was baptizing in the Jordan, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And he said that not because he had understanding that his cousin Jesus was the Messiah, but because the Holy Spirit spoke through him and recognized and spoke of the identity of Jesus as the Messiah and said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And it was speaking of the Lamb that would deliver from eternal death. Here, this Lamb's blood in chapter 12 of Exodus delivered the Israelites from the angel of death and helped them to escape the bondage in Egypt. But there was a blood that would be shed many, many centuries later that would deliver from eternal death. And that was the blood of Jesus shed for people who would put their trust in him. You know, Jesus died and rose again, shed his blood so that every person could be set free from sin, from disease, from sickness, from bondage of every kind, spiritual and every other type. But only the people who apply the blood get that deliverance and that salvation. You know, if the Israelites only killed the lamb and ate it for dinner, that would not have saved them from the angel of death. Just because they killed a lamb as Moses instructed them, it was only because they took the blood and applied it to their house that they actually received deliverance from that angel of death, bringing death to their house. It's the same today. There are a lot of people who know the name of Jesus, who have heard about the historical Jesus, what Jesus did when he walked on the earth. And there are people who even believe he did live, and that he did teach, and that he did say those things that are recorded in the Gospels, but they have not applied the blood of the Lamb to their own house, to their own life. They simply accept that the Lamb is available. That's all. But only those who apply that blood receive that deliverance or being rescued or saved from what is going to be eternal death for those who don't accept Christ. Matthew Henry was a great Bible commentator a few centuries ago, and he said this: it's not enough that the blood of the Lamb was shed, but it must be sprinkled, denoting the application of the merits of Christ's death to our souls. We must receive the atonement. It was to be sprinkled with a bunch of hyssop on the door after being dipped in a basin. And he goes on to say, faith is the bunch of hyssop by which we apply the promises to ourselves. We have to take our faith and say, I choose to believe that Jesus died for me. I choose to apply his death and resurrection to my life. I take the blood of Jesus for myself. And through that blood, I'm set free. And through that blood, I'm healed. And through that blood, I'm made whole. And through that blood, I am made in right relationship with God. I'm cleansed from my sin. And I'm made to be as if I never sinned. That's what the word justified means. His blood justifies us. So we're made as if we never sinned. So we can stand before God and have right relationship with God because of the blood of Jesus. Not because of anything we've done, but because of the blood of Jesus. So only the houses in Egypt that the Israelites took the blood and applied it to their home, only those houses were passed over by the death angel. And today, the same story is true. Only people who apply the blood, who take hold by faith of what Jesus did for them as our Passover lamb and apply it to their lives and say, I believe Jesus died for me. I believe he rose again. I believe he has forgiven me and that he paid the price for my sins through his blood. And only those people, when they stand before the judgment at the end of the world, will be passed over by that death angel who would send those who didn't believe and didn't apply the blood of Jesus to eternal death. Instead, they will receive eternal life or everlasting life with the one in whom they believed, this precious Passover lamb, which is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you today to assess where you are with Jesus. It's not that you believe that Jesus existed that will do you any good. It's only what you've done with Jesus that will make a difference. And if you've never really placed your trust in Jesus and in his death and resurrection to be the sacrifice or the exchange, the atonement for your sins, so that you know you can be in right relationship with God, do it today. Just say the simplest prayer. Just say, Father God, I believe that you sent your son Jesus to die on a cross for me, to shed his blood to set me free, and that he rose again, breaking all power of sin over my life. And I have placed my trust in Christ, and I don't believe anything I can do can make me right with you, Lord, but only what Jesus has done has put me in right standing with you. And I thank you for accepting me through Jesus and making me part of your family. And God will accept that prayer because he's looking for people who will place their trust in Christ, who will believe and say it with their mouth, believe it in their heart that Jesus died and rose from the dead. And then the scripture promises you will be saved. Much like those Israelites were saved by the application of the blood of the Lamb on their doorposts, You are saved by applying the promise of what the shed blood of Jesus has done for us, applying it to your life, believing it, standing on that promise, and receiving entrance into the family of God. And then when you die, entrance into everlasting life, to be with the Lord forever in heaven and with all those who have placed their trust in Him. So this Passover lamb story is not just an Old Testament story. It's a New Testament truth for everyone who would place their trust in our Passover lamb, Christ Jesus.